Welcome to Open Heart Surgery, a podcast where two queer best friends delve into the nuances of relationships and get curious about how to become our most loving selves. Hi, Susanna.
Hello.
How are you?
Wow, this feels very formal. is this a job interview?
Yes. Can you list your greatest strengths?
Actually, yes. Okay. When we started season one, probably not. Now I can name about 30. Hi, I'm so excited to be chatting with you tonight. We just had pizza.
We did just have pizza. It was really good.
It was. Oops, I kicked the microphones too.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
You don't know about not kicking microphones.
No.
All right. So, I don't know. Where do you want to start?
Wow, it has been a while. So, maybe we should just kind of talk a little bit about like what's been going on in our lives.
Yes.
Do you want to start to the extent you want to share?
Yes.
Share it all. Share it all.
Okay. So, for reference, this is August. And
Taylor's version.
Taylor's version. Yes. August.
This is August version. Taylor's version. Just kidding. That wasn't a re-record. She always had the master to August. Had,
yeah, that's true. Our last episode was in January, so it's been 7 months.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So it's been a busy 7 months for me.
Mm.
For both of us, really.
Yeah.
So I sold my house.
Wow.
Oh my God. I quit my job. Not in that order, actually. Actually, I quit my job first. The other order made more sense, but I quit my job.
We're not here for an order that makes sense.
That's true.
We don't need that.
Yeah. I quit my job.
I do, because I'm type A. Sorry.
I quit my job. I sold my house. And I have been unemployed since end of March. So it's been 4 months.
Yeah.
A little over 4 months.
You're really putting the fun in fun employed.
Thank you. It has been fun. I've done a lot of fun things.
You're so busy. I feel like you're busier now than you've ever been.
I absolutely am. It's ridiculous. Like, I think it's because in the corporate jobs I've worked, maybe this is not as true for you, but I feel like in the corporate jobs, there's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
There's true. A lot of like, I'm waiting for someone else to finish something. I'm waiting for this meeting that's
what
going to happen.
I would give for some more waiting, but yeah.
This indicates how easy my job was, I guess.
Which is great. Hey, I think that's awesome.
For me, it was a lot of waiting. And so now I'm just like, oh, I have things to do. I can just go do them. I went to New Orleans. That was the first thing I did after I quit my job. I went to New Orleans because it was my partner Charity's 40th birthday. So I went to New Orleans. Then I went to a writing conference for a weekend, which was amazing. It was such a good writing conference. That was a writing conference you showed me.
Not to brag, but yeah, it was. Where was it again? It was in the mountains?
It was in Boone, yeah.
Boone, North Carolina. Oh, I love Boone.
It was beautiful. I made some cool new friends there. Some of them might be listening to this podcast. Who knows?
And it was like a Jedediah Jenkins.
Yeah, it was Jedediah Jenkins,
retreat,
which,
right?
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of him, check him out. He wrote, his first book he wrote was like 10 years ago. He quit his job and rode a bike from Portland to Patagonia.
Wow.
Yeah, it's such a good book. You should read it. To Shake the Sleeping Self. It's so good. Mm-hmm. We went to Nashville and Memphis to see some of our mutual friends. And then I went to...
Love those friends.
D.C. and Boston. Then we went to Chicago to see Taylor Swift.
My God, the Eras Tour permanently changed me as a person. Literally.
It was amazing. It was an amazing show.
And
such a fun weekend.
Oh my gosh, we had a blast.
We had so much fun.
I cannot put into words how much I needed that weekend.
It was such a good weekend.
And just like, okay, if anyone is listening to this at any point in time and Taylor Swift may tour again, go to the ends of the earth to get tickets.
Which you do have to do.
It was so good. We had such good seats and we got moved even closer. It was just, I mean, that woman, I owe her so much.
It was unlike any show I've ever been to. Agreed. Or will ever go
Agreed.
To.
Agreed. We could really just, we should title this Open Heart Surgery, Taylor's Version.
We should. That was such a fun trip, though.
My first time to Chicago.
It was your first time to Chicago.
I fell in love.
It's so good. Seeing Chicago in June, it's beautiful.
I think I need to make myself go back when it's colder.
Yes.
So I'm still Zillowing in Chicago all the time. I have no plans of moving.
Yeah. No, you need to go. You need to go in February and be like, oh, this is terrible. Why would I ever move here? But it's great. It's also great. I love Chicago.
Loved it. There were so many queer people.
There were. Yeah. It was so good.
So many queer people. The concert was just the energy and welcomingness, which is a word, and acceptance and love and just everyone being so just embracing of everyone.
Yeah. It was so fun. It was just like everyone was compliment. We rode the train in to the show. Everyone was like complimenting each other's outfits.
Yeah.
And there was just so much. There was so much good energy.
It completely was. You said such a funny thing there. You said, my gender dysphoria is at an all-time low in the bathroom of a Taylor Swift concert.
That's true. It's so true. It was partly because... Well, it was partly because, well, there weren't a lot of dudes in the men's restroom. And then, like, women just started using the men's restroom, which was great.
Yeah.
Because there weren't that many guys in the line to the women's restroom was ridiculous. And also, the guys, I feel like, in the men's restroom at a Taylor Swift show are pretty cool guys. So, like,
yeah, for sure.
I was like, you know what? This is the most comfortable I felt in the men's bathroom.
I love Swifties.
Yeah, they're great. But that was a really fun trip. I took a couple little trips. Oh, yeah. I went to the beach for the weekend with my family, with my my partner and her fiance and the kids. That was super fun. And then I went to Missouri for a week to see my biological family, which I'm having therapy tomorrow to talk about that.
Yeah.
So I could let you know how I feel after therapy.
I'm going to need a communication from you after therapy. Yeah. What time's therapy tomorrow?
3:30, I think. 2:30?
I hope to hear from you by 5.
Okay. You will.
Okay, go.
And I'm gearing up to go on my big road trip. So,
oh my God.
If you listened to, I don't forget what episode. Oh, it was our like New Year's episode when we did our vision boarding.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to our vision board episode, I talked about I was going on a road trip. So I'm going on a 2-month road trip starting in September 6th. I'm going to be gone for 2 months. I'm super excited.
Is that a Saturday?
No, it's like a Thursday. Oh. Wednesday. I'm gone for Labor Day weekend. And then I'm coming back and basically taking a day to pack up and then go.
You're going to have so much fun. We already have a day reserved on the calendar for when Adrian gets back.
That's right. We do.
And don't make any other plans that day. That'll be an all day.
Yeah, that's it.
Good.
But yeah, so I'm about to go on a trip for 2 months. And we're about to go on a trip.
Oh, yeah.
Before that.
We're going on a trip like a week from today.
Yeah, on Monday.
Probably when this is coming out.
Probably when this
comes
out.
We'll probably
be
leaving that day.
Yeah. So we are going to, do you want to say where we're going?
I love that you just offered to let me do that. Like parents let kids push the buttons on the elevator.
Do you want to do that?
Do
I just feel like I've been talking so much. And this is a joint activity.
You have so many cool updates. I can push the button on the elevator if you want me to.
Yeah, please do.
We're going to Podcast Movement in Denver, Colorado, to hopefully learn a lot more about podcasting. I also want to really connect with and meet cool new people.
Yes.
That's going to be like key for me, I think. So can I just share something?
Yes, please share.
Okay. So I think the reason why, and we can get into this more,
mm-hmm.
we've been kind of slow on getting to season two, or slower than we expected.
Yes.
I'm not going to say slow because life has no timeline.
It's true.
So I think part of why we've been a little slower than expected to getting to season two is because we've just had so much going on, like Adrian just talked about. And
yeah,
I've been feeling like a little stretched thin in other areas of my life.
Yeah, same.
And we've been like doing some other creative things that we'll talk about. And I think going to Denver to Podcast Movement, and then Adrian going on their road trip, and I'm going to use a lot of that time to plan some hopefully cool guests for season two. And I'm sure Adrian will as well. I'm death glaring at them. I'm sure they will. I think when Adrian comes back, I feel like I will be so rejuvenated and really ready to go with the podcast because I believe in it so much. I've just also believed in a lot of other stuff I've been doing, and I need two of me.
Yeah.
Or I want to get an intern, which we'll talk about. I'm so serious. My favorite thing to do is delegate. Yeah, I'm really excited about Podcast Movement and what we're going to learn and who we're going to meet and have so many parties. And we're getting matching tattoos or coordinating tattoos when we're in Denver, which I'm really excited about. And I feel like there's nothing I need more than a week away from my day-to-day with my bestie and other creative people.
Yes, 100% agree. I love that as an update because that is, I think that's the reason we haven't really gotten as into season two as we were hoping to, is I just think we've just had so much else going on and like a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Good stuff.
A lot of good stuff.
Can I talk about something cool we've been doing?
Yes, please
do. So Adrian and I are in a stand-up comedy class together right now. Yeah. And we have a show on Saturday. And that has been so energizing, so fun. At least I'm speaking for me. I've loved getting to meet new people in class, to connect with some really cool, creative people in Charlotte. And I think I really needed that. And it was a huge time devotion because I think we've really put in the work to make our sets great.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of us for that.
Right.
And we'll probably share the videos on open heart surgery of our recorded sets.
Yeah, totally.
After our showcase. But, you know, it also took a lot of energy and I didn't really have the energy to dedicate to that and the podcast. And that was kind of more time bound.
Yeah. So like that has taken a lot of our time. I've also been doing like a lot of writing. I mean, obviously you have a day job, so
I know
that obviously takes a lot of your time.
If only it was 40 hours a week. Yeah.
Yeah. So that obviously takes a lot of your time, but like in lieu of having a day job, you know, I've been spending a lot of time writing and like making videos and writing poetry and fiction, doing a bunch of different things too. So yeah, I feel like we've been pretty stretched thin creatively.
Yeah. I feel very creatively, like, full.
Right. Yeah, totally.
But I also feel like the podcast had to take a back seat because I really wanted to focus on comedy. And y'all, I'm going to say something. I'm really good.
You are.
I feel so confident at it. And I have really loved it. And I don't want to stop.
Yeah. No, you've really...
It's energizing.
Yeah, you were really good. And like, it's been really cool to like see you grow. I mean, I think we both have, but it's been really cool to see you grow from like, I don't know, even from like first week or just starting to write jokes and then like where you're at now, like with your full set. It's just, it's so cool to see. And you're doing so good. And it's very funny. I can't wait for everyone to laugh.
My words of affirmation meter is full. And I think that's another thing I love about comedy. I love that it's like you take this, you do get affirmations and feedback from the audience in real time, which I love. And I also love that you can take these real events from your life that were oftentimes really hard.
Yeah.
And I think because I've processed things, I can look at it from such a funny light now.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Yeah. Sorry. It's very similar to what we do on the podcast too.
It really
like,
is.
Like it is like taking our, if, like I want to say trauma. And I every time I say trauma, I hear Devin's voice.
Me too. Every like, single time.
Like, that's not really what trauma
is. I say the word trauma in my comedy set and I'm like, sorry, Devin. You know what my last therapist used to say? She used to say turning pain into purpose.
Pain into purpose. I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that. I feel like that's what that was the theme of our podcast was yeah. turning our pain into purpose. And then like comedy's just been a way for us to do it in a different way. And like doing stand up has just been a way for us to like do it in, you know, a funnier way, maybe like a little more sarcastic way, but still like a very genuine way. And I think yeah. it's been really cool.
Yeah. I want to say another thing about yes. why I think the podcast took a back seat. When you come back from your road trip, it's front seat, baby.
Yeah, I agree.
It's front and seat.
Yeah, I agree.
Buckle her up.
I agree.
And turn on the airbag.
turn God, on the
airbag. My jokes are better than that. I think like when we were doing season one, relationships and love and connection and all of that was the number one thing on my mind.
Yeah.
And it is a huge thing on my mind now. But I feel like number one on my mind now is me.
Yeah.
I feel like I have gotten so back in touch with myself, especially mm-hmm. over like the past couple months. Like, I don't want to like sound conceited, and I don't think it does. Like, my number one love right now is me. And I kind of want to like maybe re-envision some topics we talk about on the podcast to really focus on that.
Yeah, does that I make love sense? That. Yeah, totally. I love that. And I think you're totally right. As I think we went, I feel like that's kind of where our theme sort of was drifting that way.
Yeah, already it really
in the
was.
Podcast, we started off talking about relationships and all that. And then like, we definitely had a good amount of self-love. But I really think we've, in our personal lives, we just really both like needed that focus.
Me too.
And that's not to say that we haven't had space for relationships.
Yeah,
like, I think
true.
We have. Like, and yeah. we're still seeking out relationships and developing them. But it really has been more of a focus on ourselves. Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I want, and I feel like I'm now more ready than ever for, like, I want a serious life partner.
Yeah.
But it will not be at the expense of myself.
Yeah.
And my self-love and being true to myself. Like, it just won't.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has been such a huge growing and learning moment for me. Like, it feels so good.
Yeah, so good. I agree. No, I feel the same way. Like, it's definitely been a journey to figure out, like, what I wanted.
I know.
And, like, what I needed. And then I feel like so much of it I've come back to, oh, I need me. I need more of myself.
Me too.
And I need to know more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Before I can really be fully present.
I know.
For someone else, I think.
Yeah. And like, I feel like we're both so curious.
Yeah.
I'm never going to stop being curious about myself and my partner if I'm in a relationship and relationships in general. Like, I love this topic.
Yeah.
This is so me. But like, I think I've also realized in the past year and, you know, since season one and doing season one and after, I need someone else who's super curious.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to learn with someone.
Yeah.
So I think maybe like season two won't, when I think about how it's going to look, and who knows, this could change completely.
Yeah.
I might meet the love of my life and be like, whoa, let's talk about wedding planning. I don't anticipate that, but I mean, meeting the love of my life, that part would be great. Wedding planning. No, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But it was expensive. When I think about how season two is going to look, I see it being both focused on others and ourselves, but maybe a little more focused on ourselves.
And I think that's a great goal for us to have too.
You know what I've been thinking?
What have you been thinking?
I've been thinking lately that the more I get on my healing journey and the further I like get on like healing the things that I know I want to work on, and it's been so rewarding, the pickier I get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just more selective with what I give my time to, the people I spend my time with. Like,
yeah,
I love people who make me feel full and whole.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That's been so important for me too. I think a big thing is just realizing how much time I need for myself.
I know.
Like, I think that's just been a big theme for me as I've been dating and as I've been like kind of exploring relationships, I think like there have been times when I've been like, oh, I'm going to put my whole self into this relationship. Then I'm like, this is not giving me enough space for like what I need.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've like maybe backed off a little bit and then like still feel like, you know what, I'm still not giving myself enough time. So I think I've just really needed to give myself a lot of time. And I think the best connections I made are with people who understand that and who mm-hmm. were accommodating of that.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. And I feel, I was just talking about the same thing with my therapist the other day. I've been trying to give myself, like, I'm not in a relationship, and I've just been trying to give myself time that's free, where I don't have anyone else who knows what I'm doing.
Yes.
I don't have any responsibilities to be somewhere at a certain time. Yeah. Maybe I spend that day hanging out with friends, spur of the moment.
Right.
Maybe I spend that day not leaving my bed. Like, whatever it is, I can choose.
Right.
I think I just need more freedom.
Yeah.
No, I'm such a Sagittarius. God, we love freedom.
Yeah. No, that's definitely where I've been at as well.
Yeah.
So, obviously, when we finished the last season, we were both, like, in a relationship. And I think, like, what we're talking about, what we're needing, for me, that's, like, that's where our relationships, or the relationships we were in, that's kind of why they quit working for us. We weren't being our full selves, or we weren't getting the space that we needed to be our full self. And I think we needed to take more space for ourselves.
Yeah, I think you just said it perfectly.
Yeah. So more time for ourselves, more space for us to do what we're interested in and what we want to do.
Yeah, just more time to feel really me.
Yeah.
I am unapologetically myself.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, same.
The right people are going to love that and stay.
Right.
And embrace it and celebrate it.
Yeah.
Like, I celebrate you. You're the coolest person I know.
Same. I celebrate you.
Yeah. And I feel like if it's not that, I don't want it.
Yeah, completely. And I think that's just been the thing, is just us coming to that point where we know what we need, we know what we want, and yeah, still exploring like who we are.
Yeah, I think exploring, and I'm going to speak for both of us, like I love to do,
you do
legally,
love to do that,
I love to yes. legally speak for us.
That's true.
I think exploring who we are is going to be a lifelong practice, and I'm interested in people who want to do that together.
Yeah. 100%. I agree.
Who knows who will be in 10 years?
Who knows?
Holy moly. Hopefully rich.
Let's hope.
That's what fingers crossed. Woo!
Having said all that, I do think like, while part of me wishes we have done more on the podcast at this point, and hopefully at least some of you out there are missing us and are waiting for season two.
Maybe many.
Yeah. That hopefully many of you are missing us and want season two to come out. But I think us honoring where we're at and what we're doing and just like living our lives, I think that's what's made the podcast good.
Me too. Cause we're to this point. So us.
Yeah. So just us yeah. being ourselves.
And right now us putting our full selves into comedy and your other writing and poetry endeavors.
Yeah.
For me, just comedy and having a job and taking our trip to podcast movement and then you going on a road trip. I think I've also traveled a lot this year. Yeah. It's been not as extensive as you, and I'm not going on a 2-month road trip, but I am going on several other trips while you're gone. Thank goodness. I have to keep myself busy. I think all of that is going to culminate. And I just feel this. I know this. I feel like it's going to culminate in you coming back, us getting back together and be really energized for this.
Yes, I agree.
Because I am. I just need two of me.
Right. Totally.
I have so many interests.
Right. No, totally. No, I am like, because I do have sort of a creative calendar, like where I'm like, this is what I'm working on.
That's so cool.
And like, and yeah, it is definitely like at this point I think that was the thing, is the podcast was on my creative calendar, but so were a lot of other things. Yeah. So I think being like, okay, in November, this is my creative calendar. Number one is the podcast. And I think that's where we'll be at that point.
I want to be there too. I'm going to make it happen.
I love that.
And I've been training for a half marathon. That ends in October.
There you go.
I joined a queer kickball league because, of course, I did. So my entire set, I said I want to spend so much more time being active. And wow, I did a full send. So my Saturdays are half marathon training. My Sundays are going to be queer kickball. I will finish all that while you're gone. And you'll come back and I'll be ready to sit. I am already ready to sit, but I'll be more ready.
Yeah, that sounds great. And yeah. I'll have traveled for 2 months, so I'll definitely be ready to sit.
Yeah. Oh, side note, if you have or have not listened to the podcast Normal Gossip, and if you have or are not a queer person, yes. And if you know or don't know what kickball is, you simply must finish this podcast, rate us 5 stars on whatever you're listening on, like and follow on social, and then immediately listen to Normal Gossip's gay kickball episode.
It's so good. It is so good. I've been, as you know, I have been obsessed with Normal Gossip podcast.
I'm loving it.
It has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts.
So fun.
And it is so good. I've been listening to it a lot on my road trip. So
I want to listen to it more.
Yeah. I still have, at least a whole season to catch up on still. So I have plenty of time to do that. But yeah, it's been so good. But
it's so funny. It's just the kickball episode is all about the drama that happens on one team's lesbian kickball team, the Baby Back Butches.
It's so good. It's so good. You need to listen to it for sure.
And I hope my kickball team has just as much drama that doesn't involve me at all, that I can just observe. Yeah, we'll report back.
Let's hope. I hope there's that much drama.
Yeah, I wish we were named the Baby Back Butches.
That's a great name. Yeah, so in lieu of listening to season 2 of Open Heart Surgery right now, mm-hmm. you can listen to Normal Gossip until season 2 gets released.
Yeah. Oh, another cool thing you've done. You've become a coffee ambassador.
I am. Yes,
let's promote.
That's true. My friend Britt has a coffee, our friend Britt.
Yeah, she was, I was like, damn.
Collectively our friend.
Wow, damn.
has a coffee account called Taste the Bean. I think it's taste.the.bean. It's such a great name. But yes, I am a coffee ambassador for Taste the Bean Instagram account. And I'm going to be traveling across the country.
Yeah.
Sending Britt pics of a... different coffee shops I go to.
That's so fun. Yeah, it's fun. I love that. You're gonna have so many good ones, especially in like Washington.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yes.
So let's see, what else do I want to talk about? There's a lot. There's a lot. Season 2, we're gonna, I need to remember we're not recording a full season right now. I don't need to get into every nuance of my life now or in season 2. I think, like, I don't know, y'all, I was overwhelmed with love from season 1. I don't think I expected so many people to listen.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed with love.
Yeah. It's been so cool. And it has been cool having people. We've had a ton of people ask us about season 2.
I know. Like,
how's it coming? When are we going to hear episodes?
Yeah. Y'all make us feel loved.
Yes. We love y'all. So.
For sure.
Thank you for that love.
So I have a little activity I wanted to do with you.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah. Let's anything do an else activity. You want to share? I love an activity. No, I think I'm good.
So I'm going to tell you the plan, and then you can tell me if you want to do it or not.
Yes.
And if you don't want to do it, I still want to leave that in because I want the podcast listeners to hear, and it's totally fair, but I want them to hear that for one moment you were a party pooper. Okay.
Okay.
So I really like this woman, Gretchen Rubin. She has a book and podcast, I think, called The Happiness Project. Have you ever...
It sounds familiar, but I don't.
I don't think we're going to get Gretchen Rubin on until about season 30, so I thought we could probably do this.
Okay.
So she has so many cool things. Like, her podcast is about, like, hacking and unlocking your happiness. Okay. And not, like, a toxic positivity level.
Okay.
Like, I love that she's all about happiness, and it never makes you feel like shit.
Yeah, I love that.
Because that is just not cool. And it's so unrealistic. Okay, so her book is The Happiness Project. And she's got a couple other books as well. Her podcast is called Happier with Gretchen Rubin. She talks about good habits, and it's just really cool. And everything draws on contemporary science, which I love. I like when things like this are backed by science.
Yeah.
So she's got a couple like quizzes you can take on her website. But something I really like and I've been learning, reading a lot about is what she calls the four tendencies. So let me tell you a little about this. Then I thought we could each take a quiz, you on your phone, me on my laptop, and then we'll share our results.
Love that. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have your phone with you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Of course you do. It's 2023.
Of course I do.
So the four tendencies answers the question, how do people respond to inner expectations like a New Year's resolution and to outer expectations like a work deadline? It's super simple and actionable. The primary benefits of understanding the four tendencies are self-mastery and learning more about yourself and how you do things, which I think is so appropriate because we were just talking about, you know, learning more about ourselves.
Yeah, totally.
Influencing others to do things, which is very appropriate because I think, you know, you've got to influence others all the time. Mm-hmm. And then understanding why others do or don't do things to reduce frustration and increase harmony. So there are four different tendencies, as we said. So we're going to take this quiz and decide which of these four we are. So I thought it could be fun to say what we think we're going to be and then take the quiz and see if it was right or not.
Okay.
So the four tendencies are upholder. I love routines and people think I'm extremely disciplined. So you meet outer expectations and you meet inner expectations.
Okay.
I am an upholder.
Okay.
Obliger. Sure. I put others ahead of me and I value harmony in relationships. You meet outer expectations, but you resist inner expectations. Rebel. I value freedom and choice. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. You resist outer and inner expectations. And questioner. I love researching, and people sometimes say that I ask why too much. You resist outer expectations and meet inner expectations. So I just think this is super interesting, and maybe we can take the quiz now. And then I can read a little bit more about our topics. But first, you've got to tell me what you think you are.
So I was leaning towards obliger.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are. That's very common, I think.
Read that one again.
Obliger. You meet outer expectations, resist inner expectations. So, like, if you know someone's depending on you for something, you'll definitely do it.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that's me.
I'm about to send you the link to the quiz.
Okay.
And I'm going to read the questions. And then we've got another activity after this.
Two activities. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, there's 12 questions. Let's go quickly.
Okay.
Have you kept a New Year's resolution where you weren't accountable to anyone? A resolution like drinking more water or keeping a journal? Sure, I'm good at keeping New Year's resolutions, and even once no one knows about me. Sure, I'm good at keeping resolutions, and I make them whenever the time seems right. I wouldn't wait for the new year. January 1st is an arbitrary date. I've had trouble with that kind of resolution, so I'm inclined to make one, whether at the new year or any time. When I'm only helping myself, I often struggle. No, I hate to bind myself in any way. I think I'm going to say, yeah, I'm good at keeping resolutions, but I make them whenever the time seems right.
I feel like I've had trouble with that kind of resolution, so I'm not inclined to make one.
Gotcha. Which statement best describes your view about your commitments to yourself? I make a commitment to myself only if I'm convinced that it really makes good sense to do it. If someone is holding me accountable for my commitments, I'll meet them. But if no one knows except me, I struggle. I bind myself as little as possible. I take commitments to myself as seriously as my commitments to other people. This is hard. All of the above.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to say I take my commitments to myself as seriously as my commitments to other people.
No one knows except me, I struggle. Yeah, I think that one.
Mine's hard because I take my commitments to myself seriously and then eventually I decide I don't care anymore.
I don't know. I sort of feel that. I mean, like, I make creative commitments to my, like, that's kind of what I was thinking of. Like I'll make a commitment that I'm going to write every day. But also, if I don't write every day, I'm like, that's not that big a deal.
I know. It's so hard. Like,
but I do mostly. I will make a commitment. I'll mostly do it. But then I'm also like, eh, it's not a big deal. If I don't.
I'm going to say I take my commitments to myself seriously.
Yeah. I think I'm standing by my answer.
At times, we feel frustrated by ourselves. Are you most likely to feel frustrated because my constant need for more information exhausts me? As soon as someone expects me to do something, I don't want to do it. I can take time for other people, but I can't take time for myself. I can't take a break from my usual habits or violate the rules even when I want to. All of the above. I'm going to say I can take time for other people, but I can't take time for myself.
Yeah, that's me.
Question 4. When you formed a healthy habit in the past, what helped you stick to it? I'm pretty good at sticking to habits, even when no one else cares. Doing a lot of research and customization about why and how I might keep that habit. I could stick to a good habit only when I was answerable to someone else. Usually, I don't choose to bind myself in advance to a particular course of action. I'm going to say doing a lot of research and customization.
See, I don't feel like any of these are me.
Legally, you have to choose one.
Like, I'm pretty good at sticking to habits. I don't know. I'm not great at sticking. I think the one that's most me, I think, is usually that I don't choose to bind myself in advance to a particular course of action. I think that's somewhat true. It's the most true of any of them, I think.
If people complain about your behavior, you'd be least surprised to hear them say, you stick to good habits, ones that matter only to you, even when it's inconvenient for someone else. You ask too many questions. You're good at taking the time when others ask you to do something, but not good at taking time for yourself. You only do what you want to do when you want to do it. People would say I ask too many questions.
You do ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. But not too many. I'm going to go with you're good at taking the time when others ask you to do something, but you're not good at taking time for yourself.
Cool. Which description suits you best? Discipline, sometimes even when it doesn't make sense. Asks necessary questions. Puts others, clients, family, neighbors, coworkers first. Refuses to be bossed by others. I'm disciplined, but oh wow, I am disciplined even when it doesn't make sense. I just had about 30 examples come to mind. I'm going to say that.
I'm going to put others first. So I think that is what I tend to do.
People get frustrated with me because if they ask me to do something, I'm less likely to do it, even if they're a boss or client. Tend to disagree, neutral, tend to agree. I definitely tend to disagree.
Yeah, I definitely tend to disagree.
I love that about us.
Yeah.
I do what I think makes the most sense according to my judgment, even if it means ignoring the rules or other people's expectations. I'm also tend to disagree. Or am I neutral?
Yeah, I feel like I'm neutral to maybe tend to agree. So I feel like I do what makes the most sense.
I'm going to say neutral, actually.
I'm going to say neutral.
Yeah, I'm definitely neutral. Because I'm thinking there are certain times when it's absolutely no and certain times when it's absolutely yes. So I'm going to say neutral. Commitments to others should never be broken, but commitments to myself can be broken. These are tough.
They're really tough.
Like, what's the commitment? What are we talking about, Gretchen?
There's also, like, there's the ideal versus what I do in practice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, logically, I don't think I should break commitments to myself.
I agree.
But I'm going to say tend to agree, actually.
I'm just going to say neutral. Sometimes I won't do something I want to do because someone wants me to do it.
I can't even understand that.
Disagree. That sounds like a very annoying person.
Yeah. <no.
laughs> Unless you're listening and you said didn't agree, I'm sorry. I'm sure you're so lovely. I'm sorry. I just didn't understand you and I judged you based on that. Question 11. I've sometimes described myself as a people pleaser. Okay, I'm definitely tend to agree, but I'm recovering.
Yeah, I'm tend to agree for sure.
I'm definitely in recovery from that. And like, I'm so aware of it now.
It was funny. I had a really interesting conversation with a friend when I referred to myself as a people pleaser, and she was really surprised.
Mm.
And I think it was shortly after our attachments episode.
Really?
And she was like, well, I tie my people pleasing to like an anxious attachment style. And I was like, oh yeah, mine is not tied to my attachment style. I just think I tend to
be
a bit of a people pleaser.
I'm going to say neutral again because, well, I don't know. I've sometimes described myself as a people pleaser. I do tend to agree, but I'm recovering, Gretchen. Where's the nuance? Tend to agree.
Well, it's neutral. But it's somewhat
nuanced. I've already moved on. I don't mind breaking rules or violating convention. I often enjoy it. I'm going to say neutral.
I'm going to say tend to agree.
Okay.
I think I like
breaking rules. Oh, my gosh. Enter your email. Sorry, Adrian, you gotta enter your email. All right. Do you want to share first? Or do you want me to share first?
I can share first.
Okay.
My tendency is obliger. Just like I thought. Says you can count on me and I'm counting on you to count on me. God, that's so true. I wish that was less true. The fact that I want you to count on me is I wish I could. I don't want that. Obligers meet outer expectations but struggle to meet inner expectations. Of all the tendencies, obligers are the biggest group and the ones whom people count on the most. They put a high value on meeting commitments to others, but may have trouble setting limits and meeting their commitments to themselves.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So you were spot on with what you thought.
Yeah.
I was not right.
Ooh, what'd you get?
Questioner.
Oh.
I'll comply if you convince me why. I don't know. That doesn't feel super true for me, but during the quiz, I see why. So questioners question all expectations. That is true.
You do question a lot.
Yeah, I do. And they respond to an expectation only if they conclude it makes sense. In essence, they meet only inner expectations. They're motivated by reason, logic, and fairness, which can lead to conflict when they don't have enough information. That's actually completely true.
Yeah, that is really true.
Because I only meet an expectation if I internally believe in it. That's why I think it's so easy for me to meet goals I set for myself.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, I'm thinking about like so many of the things I voluntarily do. I meet all of those expectations because I believe in it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's totally true.
That is so me.
Yeah. It really is.
Wow. Okay. We learned.
See? Learned about ourselves already.
Do you want to guide us through our last activity?
Yes.
Unless you have some surprises up your sleeves.
I forgot what our last activity was, but now I remember.
We're so prepared.
Okay.
Steven Kanzuski just texted me.
We love Steven.
We do. That's an Easter egg for a future episode. It is,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So for season two, in lieu of speed dating, because we had so much fun with speed dating last season. So instead of speed dating, or as another form of speed dating, I guess, we're asking some questions from these cards called Where Should We Begin? Which is by Esther Perel.
Or Esther.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Well, we won't know. We have Googled this extensively.
Yeah. No one knows.
And we still do not know. So we're going to pull some cards and we're going to ask each other questions.
How many you want to do?
One, two, three.
See, I'm a questioner.
You want to do three?
Three each?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So I'm going to ask you and you're going to answer and then you're going to ask me and I'm going to answer.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know first.
Okay. You go first. Okay.
Like I want you to ask me first.
Oh, I'll ask you first. Okay.
Because I'm nervous.
Okay. A major challenge I've overcome.
How long do you have?
I mean, that's the entire theme of the podcast.
You want child and adulthood today, last year, like
let's get something we haven't covered.
Okay, something we haven't covered, a major challenge I've overcome, my fear of public speaking.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I especially comedy class, yeah. I now love public speaking.
Yeah, that's true.
I am so excited about it. It's made me, and in every aspect of my life, I'm so excited. I'm not nervous at all.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
It's a great answer.
Should I go next?
Yeah.
You want to switch off?
Yeah,
I love that. Okay, that's so fun. Ooh, good one. I'm proud I stood up for myself when.
Okay, the first one that comes to mind was my parents really wanted me to. This is a very specific story. Should I tell it?
Yeah.
My parents wanted me to, for their 50th wedding anniversary, my parents.
Which was how long ago?
This was 2019.
I'm a questioner.
My parents wanted me to come home. They said they only had one request for their 50th anniversary, and that is that all their children come home and that we all go to church with them. So I feel like I've covered it fairly well on the podcast, but in case you haven't caught it, I do have a lot of religious trauma. I came from a very conservative Christian background, and I have a lot of religious trauma. And going to church is not really an option for me. Going to their church is not really an option for me. It's like an accepting, it's like a queer accepting church, you know, maybe. But that was what they said they wanted. And like, it was really hard for me to say no to them because I'm an obliger.
That seems impossible.
Yeah. This is all they were asking for me to do for their anniversary. I will say, to their credit, they did say, if you decide not to go to church, we would still really like for you to come. So they still wanted me to come regardless. I thought about it for a few days and then I told them, no, I didn't think I could do it. And I actually explained to them, I think in the way that they raised me, like they wouldn't have gone to a church they disagreed with. And I was like,
right.
I was like, honestly, I think I got this from you and I don't think I could do it. And it's one of the times I stood. That was a time that was so hard for me to stand up for myself. Mm. And I didn't.
So proud of you. Great.
We can skip this one.
I'm going to try not to. I'm going to try really hard to answer the questions.
Here. Okay. My experience with death.
Wow. You mean
my experience with death has been ..
lifelong. Not only did my mother die mere days or weeks after my divorce process initiated, but I remember like going to funerals so young. I'm going to tell the story of the first funeral I ever went to, which was with my mother. And this is a funny memory I have with her. It was her friend. I think her name was Barbara, comes to mind. I don't know. I've never met her. They were friends for a long time.
Okay.
And she died. And I was at the funeral, like maybe viewing or whatever. Like, what comes before the ceremony? Like, visitation?
Visitation. Yeah.
And I was probably 3, 4, maybe. I think I was probably, like, 3. I was so young. I have so many early childhood memories, like, super early. And I just remember asking my mom in the quiet room really loudly, why is Barbara in a tanning bed? And my mom handled it so well. She took me aside and explained that that was, and maybe we don't say that so loud next time, and that it was totally okay that I did, and I'm learning, and that she had died, and then I felt really sad. And she had explained it to me beforehand as well, but I just, yeah, she was in a tanning bed. And who knows if that was even her name, but so yeah, it was funny. My mom, she handled so many things so well like that.
Oh, I love that memory. That's a yeah, sweet memory.
Barbara also had a frozen, her, she also, her cat had died. And she was so obsessed with the cat, she kept the cat wrapped in saran wrap, frozen in her freezer. That's another death story. And she would take it out and pet it.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Wonder.
That's your experience with death.
Yeah.
This explains a lot about your sense of humor, honestly.
It does. Okay. Again, we can skip this.
Okay.
The worst date I've ever been on.
I think I've talked about this before, but I did go on a date like very early in the dating apps where I met up with someone who, like, we hadn't talked at all. We, like, literally matched that day. And, like, we're like, let's go meet up. And it was, like, 45 minutes from here or something. It was in the middle of nowhere.
Yikesies.
Yeah. And we went to, like, it's this brewery that I really like. But it was, like, in the middle of nowhere. And we meet up and, like, we start talking. And honestly, like, wasn't really feeling the vibe. Like, I really think she mostly just, like, wanted to hook up. And, like, I went on the date being like, I don't know, I might be interested in this. And then I was just like, nah, I don't think I'm interested in this. But during the date, she gave me a gummy, a weed gummy, and I ate it. No, it was a Delta 8, so it was legal. So she gave me a gummy, and I ate it, and did not question the gummy.
Oh, God.
And after I ate it, I started feeling it, and she was, and I was like, how much was that gummy? And she was like, it was 150 milligrams. And I was like, I don't know about anyone else's tolerance, but I can, like, 150 is way past my tolerance.
Aren't they normally like 10 or 20?
Right, exactly. And she, I was
why
like,
would she not
I was
have
like,
said
shit.
That?
And she was like, I was kind of surprised when you ate the whole thing. And I was just like, oh my God. And I was high for over 24 hours.
Oh my God. And she like did not tell you.
Right. We weren't vibing. And then I was just out for like a very long time.
Wow.
But I like started feeling it towards like, we were, I don't know, we were only there for like an hour or so. And then I was like, I think I need to go. And I just left. But yeah, that was my worst date.
That is awful. Like the fact that, I mean, if someone gives me a CBD gummy, I'm going to take the whole thing.
Right. That's what I was like. And I was like, it's Delta 8. I was like, it's not. Mm. And since then, I've had other experiences with Delta 8.
I know.
And,
same.
And they have like fucked me up when I wasn't expecting it. Because by the time I think I was like, it's not even real weed. And,
I know.
And it just fucked me up so bad. Yeah, that was my worst date.
Wow.
Okay. My most tenacious vice.
Okay, now I have to admit something. So it's not what you think.
So, I can't wait for the answer.
So I have a question because I'm a questioner. So this is the second time you said tenacious tonight. I love that word, but I don't remember what it means. And I'm confident enough to admit that.
No, I love that.
Tenacious
honestly,
D.
Tenacious D is what
and
I
I've
think
used
of.
The word tenacious, and it's I just like, hope I'm using it correctly.
Right. I have trouble telling you what it means. Let's look it up. Not easily pulled apart. Cohesive.
Okay, so what is it? My most
so
cohesive?
Like strongest. Like my strongest vice.
My strongest vice.
Like the vice that you can't get away from. I think that's what it means in this context. Mm.
Luckily, I don't do any super horrible for me vices. I mean, what is a vice?
Here's the question.
Yeah, I'm having trouble.
What's
with,
a vice?
I'm having trouble with this because I don't think I really view a lot of things as vices. I'm such a questioner. Oh, my gosh.
Here, I'll ask you a different
one. No. I don't want to. No, I don't want to cop out. I'm going to come up with it.
Okay.
But, like, nothing I do is something that I see as a vice because I approve of everything. I see some things as coping strategies
right.
for the world.
Right.
So, I fundamentally don't agree with this question, Esther. But, okay, something that others might think is a vice. Let's see.
Your cottage cheese addiction.
Gosh, I'm so in a cottage cheese right now. I didn't have any today and I feel off.
See, I think that's the definition of a vice.
Cheese.
If you did not have any today and you feel off, I think cottage cheese might be your most tenacious vice.
Gosh, this used to be like way more of a vice than it is now, but I'm going to say like maybe TikTok videos, but I think I use them during periods of my life when I need more escapism. So, yeah. which is a vice, you know?
Yeah. No, I think
so
that's good.
So, I guess I'll say TikTok videos.
Yeah.
Even
I think
though
that's
I
a good answer.
Fundamentally don't view that as a vice.
Yeah.
And
no,
I agree. I'm opposed to the question. So, I don't believe in vices. Unless you're like smoking or that's a vice or like, you know.
Yeah.
Diet culture is vice to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, love this one. She redeemed herself.
What is it?
With Esther redeemed herself with this question for sure. A time when I felt on top of the world.
Honestly, it happened so often to me. I don't know if that's a weird thing to say, but honestly, I feel that way a lot.
That makes me the happiest ever.
So this is the one that comes to mind, I think, quickest. I wrote a poem the other day that I think is the best poem I've ever written.
Wow.
And it was like one of those, I think creative people, like, I don't know, maybe everyone has this feeling with whatever they're passionate about. But I think if like something you're really passionate about and you do it really well and you get done and you're like, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. What I just did was really good. And like, I think I wrote this poem a couple weeks ago that I think is the best poem I've ever written. And like, I did feel on top of the world when I wrote it.
That makes me so happy to hear. And I'm so glad you feel on top of the world all the time. Can we hear it or no?
The poem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can say no. No, I can read it. You don't have to be in a pleasure right now.
No, I can read it.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's a great, I think that would be fun. Let me read it.
I love this. If I like it, can I go?
You can. That is encouraged. Here's the poem. It's honestly, it's such a, it is such an open heart surgery poem. So it's so perfect.
What's it called?
It's called A Gentle Life.
Yeah, it is.
As a child, I was afraid of quicksand, worried this world would suck me in and suffocate me. I've tiptoed through this world, unsure where to place my foot on the uneven landscape, uncertain of where I was allowed to exist. Planting my feet firmly on the ground feels like an act of resistance, resilience, declaring there is a life, a home, to be made here on these pieces of clay that rise above the ocean floor. I strive to lead a gentle life. Not a gentle path. I've never come across a mountain I didn't envision summoning. I'm at home with dirt beneath my painted nails. Gentle in how I choose to exist in the world. Always letting daffodils break my heart in their casual beauty, understated grace. Flirting with sunsets, obsessed with the way they try to catch my eye. Gathering seashells of memories on the shore, tossing them back into the waves, to see the tide wash them back to me, over and over again. Gentleness never confused with timidity. I'm not done collecting all of my scars. There are whole spools of thread I've set aside to mend the pieces of my heart that haven't been broken yet. I plan to drive this life into the ground, use it all up with no spare parts, leaving behind a threadbare heart, a pool of tears I wasn't afraid to cry, warm laughter reverberating off the walls of every place I've dared to call home. In the end, what if heaven and hell isn't where we wind up, but the pieces of us that others carry with them? I want to scatter fragments of paradise on every surface my foot has landed, with one hand holding daring, the other authenticity, skydiving in tandem with no parachute, letting the wind carry me where it wills. I want to live my life unconcerned with what it's supposed to be, ecstatic for what it is. Never losing my sense of wonder, always wandering wherever the road turns. Looking back on my crooked path, always assured in the knowledge that I lived, truly lived.
Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking.
That floored me.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
That's besides my poetry coach, you're the only person who's ever heard it. So,
oh my god,
I'm actually performing it on Saturday though.
Wow, yeah. I'm honored, and soon everyone who listens.
Yes,
I cannot think of a better way to end this episode.
I think it's a great way to end.
That was beautiful, truly.
Thank you.
Showstopper.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
You want to just end it now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, see you all in a few months.
All right, see you all in a bit.
We're going to be growing in the meantime.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. Follow along on our socials at Open Heart Surgery Pod on Instagram, Open Heart Pod on Twitter, and Open Heart Surgery Podcast on Facebook. This podcast is produced by Adrian and Susanna with music by Space Baby and logo design by Emma. This is a Lost Frequency audio production. I kind of like it.